Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. I am so glad you're here with us today. You know, do you do anything in your life or in your business that you just love? I've said it on the air many times before, but I love doing this show. It's like my guilty pleasure. It really is. And I'm so grateful that I get to share these amazing people with you. I'm also really glad to be able to share with you VTech, their four-line small business phone system. I'm actually going to reach over here and grab the box while I'm talking to you today, because I want you to visually see it through my eyes as I look and tell you that it's got four-line operation. It has a digital answering system, six-party conferencing, power backup, a 32-number speed dial, and, of course, it's a full duplex speakerphone. Now, for those of you that don't know what full duplex means in speakerphones, that means that both parties can hear each other at the same time. It's not like a walkie-talkie, which would be not full duplex. It's the VTech four-line small business phone system, 32 speed dial phone numbers, full, six people in a conferencing. I mean, think of the things that you can do in your business by making use of the VTech four-line small business phone system. Check it out. Again, I just really want to thank you for being here today, because really, I mean really, you are the heart and soul of why we do this. I love bringing to you these amazing best-selling authors, these world-changing people. You know, I said it, I think even last week maybe it was, but it's worth repeating. On the surface, it looks like what Kathy and I do is make people best-selling authors, and we do. But in reality, what we do best is we share with the world amazing, world-changing leaders. And it is such a humbling honor to be able to bring them to you. Now, with that said, I'm going to start teasing you already with the two guests that we have on today, because I've got a couple of people here that have stories of their life. And you notice that I'm being careful here right now, because I don't want to give away their stories until we get to them. But I guarantee you that if you listen, even just casually, but especially if you listen intently to this episode, it's going to reframe probably everything in your life. You see, we all have things that happen in our life, but the question becomes, are those obstacles, are those situations, are those problems things that we can overcome and lead us to our next? You know, you've heard it said many times before, is it going to be your tombstone or is it your stepping stone? And it is amazing to see the things that people have been through that some of us have no frame of reference. I mean, all of the stuff that each of us goes through, and for each of us, it's very personal. I want you to understand that before we go into the show, your stuff is very personal to you. It was seemingly as insurmountable for you as the situations that both the guests that I have on today as well as other guests will share with you. So I get that, all right? I don't want you to feel diminished in where you are and what you've been through. It's not a comparison test, because the only person that you need to be is you. You weren't put through their circumstances, and so you don't need to rise above their circumstances. You need to rise above your own circumstances. So in any case, what you've been through is that thing that can either be, as I said just a minute ago, your tombstone or your stepping stone. It can be that thing that propels you towards greatness, that gives you your reason for living. Or it can be the excuse that you throw out into the world to keep yourself safe and from not having to have to ever do anything. And it's real. The fear that you feel over whatever you're going through is absolutely 100% real. But I want to let you know something. Fear is a feeling. Feelings aren't necessarily facts. We can feel like things are never going to get better. That doesn't mean that things are never going to get better. That's just how we feel. We can feel like nobody loves us. That doesn't mean that nobody loves us and no one ever will love us. But if we put those feelings in front of what's real, we tend to hijack our own life. I remember way back, I was probably in youth group when I was a teen, there was a picture and it showed a train with three cars, an engine, like a middle passenger car, and a caboose. And I don't remember what the middle, I don't even know what the middle car was labeled, but the engine was called facts. Sometimes in a religious statement, you might even say faith, but it's what's real. It's the things that are. The caboose was feelings. And it's important to really take that visual to heart right now, because what you feel is extremely real. It's not like the feelings weren't part of the train. It's not like, as the train was whizzing by, feelings was over there and it was a bush. It is part of your experience in life, but it isn't what's driving you. The feelings aren't the engine. What's the engine is your desire. The fact that you know that you can know better, do better, be better, live better, because better is meant for you. You were intended to live in this world, to live this life as an overcomer. I love that song. Have you ever heard that song, Overcomer? I'm trying to think who it is right now. Mandisa. It's an amazing song. If you've never heard it before, listen to the song Overcomer by Mandisa. It's a great song, very encouraging, because you need to know you are an overcomer. You need to stay in the fight through the whole fight. Have you ever watched a Rocky movie? Some of you, maybe you're like, Rocky, man, that's an old movie. And yet they just made another one recently. The thing I like about the Rocky movies is that the fight isn't over until the very, very last punch. And until then, you're still in the fight. It looks sometimes like you're not just going to get knocked out. You're going to get taken out in life. You're going to get killed. You're going to be destroyed, decimated, never the same. That's what it looks like in that particular moment. But the reality of it is that so much more is meant for you. You're destined for a level of greatness. That if you're struggling right now today, you may not even be able to conceive of, and you definitely aren't believing in it. And as I said before, each of our own stuff, it's real to us, and that makes it real. And for our experience, it's as big as anybody else's stuff. So there's a couple of secrets that we can learn to move from that spot we're in now that may be tough to something new. And then the first part of that is that we need to understand that natural tendency to isolate as people when we're going through trauma, through crisis, That's the last thing we want to do. You need to surround yourself with community, with people who will be there for you, love on you, and help you get through. That's number one. And number two is you need to understand and allow yourself input into your life that shows you and reminds you that you can make it through it, that other people have, as well as other things in your own life that you've made it through. You've overcome other obstacles before in your life. And that's not to say that now there's never going to be another obstacle in your future, but it is to say that because you overcame before, you can and you will overcome again. As I said before, if you will remember that the game isn't over, the boxing match isn't won, the whatever example you want to use, we're not at the finish until the last round, until the last punch, until the last song is sang. You're still in it, and you will win it because you were meant to overcome. Now, I want you to hold that in tight, close to your chest as you listen to this. You're going to hear some stories from a couple of amazing women who have come through some circumstances in life that some of us have no frame of reference for. And they are shining diamonds that are examples of what can happen in your life when you're committed to overcoming. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. So we want to jump into a couple of amazing best-selling authors because we've got some stories to talk to you about today that I promise you they're going to help you reframe what you're going through now, what you've been through, and help you see a brighter, more possible future from their stories. I love bringing our best-selling authors to you because they really do help you be able to understand that you can overcome. Is there anything in your life that really has made the difference between who you are and who you know you might have ended up being if you hadn't had them or that place in your life? I am so excited to talk today about our next best-selling author, Annette Bozeman, and her book, The Center. Annette's going to share with us just how impactful this one center was in her life and how much it changed her life. Annette, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, C. Anytime.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, your backstory.
Well, my backstory is you don't get to choose your family. You have to accept wherever you're born, whomever your family is. You try to accept them, the best way that you can. Unfortunately, my family was dysfunctional when I got here. I'm the last of six, and I tried to play catch up to try to figure out what was going on with my family. And that's how I just kind of, I don't know how to put this, but it was like I was born into the wrong house. I didn't fit in with my family members. And it wasn't until I met my mom's sister, who lived in Chicago, that I found out, you know, where I got my genes from, my the way that I am. I'm exactly like my mom's sister. Unfortunately, she lived so many thousands of miles away. But even though she was far away, I mean, we were so much alike, it's not funny.
Well, and then as a child, you know, you grew up in Watts during the middle of the Watts riot. I can't even imagine what that was like.
It changed my life. I saw, it was like being in a war zone. The fires, the National Guard, the bloodshed, it was like being in a war zone. And I didn't realize how traumatized I was until I got older.
So you went through the Watts riot, and you were injured really badly.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, from the book, you were hurt to the point where they were getting ready to amputate your arm.
Oh, no, that was from something else.
Oh, okay.
The injury that I got from the riots was something totally different. The emotional injury I got from the riots was that it was fear. It was so much fear that I thought that I was going to die. Because when you're a small child, in fact, I think I was in kindergarten. And when you're a small child, you hear adults talking. You see the actions of adults. And you see something totally different. And in my little eyes, I saw that because I was a black child, that I was being hunted. I was going to be blown to bits. Just from watching the news, I thought the police were going to stick the dogs on me. I thought something was wrong with me. Because that's what I saw. I saw... back in the 60s when the news media was showing all the things that were happening in the South, and then to be in the Watts riot, I thought all that I saw on television was happening to me in my own town. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, most definitely.
So the fear that was instilled in me was overwhelming.
So out of the Watts riot, you know, you then had the injury to your arm. The doctors were getting ready to amputate your arm. There was a place known as the Center, Kaiser Permanente Watts Counseling and Learning Center, a program called the Center, that literally saved your life. Can you tell us a little bit about how meaningful and impactful the center was for you?
Oh, absolutely. The Watts, the Kaiser Permanente Watts Counseling and Learning Center was a safe haven and still is in operation. When the center came up in our community, our family was accepted. And we had access to individual counseling, group counseling, and you know, pretty much anything else we needed. It was a place where you can go and feel safe. And they helped me to understand what I experienced as a small child. And, you know, it helped me to develop my self-esteem. They helped me to see the world in a different light. They gave me hope in a situation where you did not feel that you had a chance. You know, you felt worthless. My self-esteem was extremely low. And to go to the center was like, you know, going to a different world. It was a place where you can relax. It was a place where you didn't have to look over your shoulders. It was a safe haven.
So I know a lot of people listening that have a different world experience than what you have. They often struggle with the feeling, what can I do? But I know more than anything that you really speak to just how impactful a person can be in somebody's life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You never know who's watching you. There were people at the center, the staff, and I watched them. And I developed different characteristics from the staff members. And the secretary that was there for Mr. Coggins, I had never seen a lady with such class. And I mimicked her. I wanted to be her. There was another counselor who I thought was just so jazzy. I wanted to dress like her. And I saw women in power, highly educated women. I saw situations where they gave me tools that I didn't get growing up as a small child. Being able to assess a situation, being able to make decisions, knowing that I had the power to choose, those kind of things.
And the power of choice is so powerful. And now I know one of the things that you do most with your life is you pay it forward, both through the center as well as other places. You know, what can a person do to just impact their little corner of the world?
Well, I remember as a small child seeing other people with the characteristics that I wished I had, saying that these people were an example for me. So I thought, I want to be just like that when I grow up. I want to set an example. And that's when I started in my salon, Lady Dupree's hair salon, where I started mentoring children and teens as well as adults on making better decisions. And, you know, understanding that your actions are very important and that whatever it is that you want to do, you must start now to prepare for what you want in the future. Don't wait till the future gets here. It'll be too late. You must start now. And you must do the things that you have to do now to get you ready for what you want in the future, is what I told the children. If a young lady told me, well, I want to be a doctor when I grow up, well, then I would tell her, what are you doing now? Have you volunteered at any of the hospitals to see if you would like to be in that environment? Stuff like that.
That's really great advice. Yeah. And each of us can make a difference to the people that are in our world. It just takes little things like that to both you know, be the change that we can be, as well as accept and look for, you know, people around us that can, you know, make us better and show up better in the world.
The book is called, because you never know who's watching you. What child? There's always a little child somewhere watching watching an adult and learning from that adult.
And a lot of times you don't know who's watching you. So
that's it.
Yeah.
That's why whomever you are, and when you're being yourself, you must take into consideration that you're showing a small child what an adult's life is like.
Mm.
If you are the kind of person that if a child comes to you and you're so busy that you can't stop what you're doing to give that child those few seconds or few minutes of attention, you're teaching that child that adults don't care about children. You have to listen. And that's what Kaiser did for me. When I would talk and tell what I had gone through and my perspective of what I thought happened, they would come back and tell me what I said and then tell me what I got wrong. You misunderstood that situation. I believe this is what you saw. And you get a chance to think about it. Because, say, for example, the National Guard. When I was a little girl, my brothers played with those little green army men. And we called them G.I. Joes. So at 5 years old, I was saying the G.I. Joes are coming to kill us. So I had a really, really bad thing for anybody in uniform. Well, as I got older and as I went through counseling and as my older brother joined the Marines, that whole thing changed. I saw a man in uniform as being a hero.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And as a small child of 5 years old, I thought they were assassins. You get the difference?
I do, most definitely. There are so many great insights in this short read. The book is called The Center. It's by Annette Bozeman. This is a book you really need to get, regardless of what environment you live in, so that you can be the change in your part of the world. Annette, thanks so much for spending some time talking to us about your book that is now a bestseller, and we're so excited that we were part of your book, The Center.
Oh, thank you so much.
Whose life can you impact today? Who might you be the very person that somebody needs to help them go from the situation that they're in to the best version of their life? Think about that one, and we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here looking still at this box from VTech, their 4-line small business phone system. You can build your system in two easy steps. It has wireless registration, meaning that when you want to add another phone into your system, it wirelessly will just notice and say, hey, there's another phone on the system, and hook them up, and you can set it all up. It has an extra large display for easy viewing, so you can tell the information of missed calls or new messages, the date and the time, and all those kind of things. You can start, stop, skip, repeat, delete all of your recorded voice messaging and all of that stuff right from your phone. You can have conference calls with up to 6 people on it. There are so many amazing things that you can do for your business with a VTech 4-line small business phone system. It is truly a device that is designed with all of your needs for your business in mind. And I do hope that you will check out the VTech 4-line small business phone system. So in the last segment, we were talking with Annette, and she was talking about her life coming through the Watts riots and then having the center come in and make the difference for her to learn emotional integrity and how to have the vision for something bigger than what she had seen as a small child. And I know that you know that you have the possibility of also being that in someone else's life. But there's another thing that you have the capability to do, and that's deep down inside of you, you have the ability to overcome. Sometimes the best way to overcome is to step out and help somebody else. Other times, it's just a matter of really understanding not only what you've come through, but seeing what other people have been able to overcome so that you have a bigger vision for what can be and how far you can take it, how much you can make it, if you are committed to being an overcomer. I know every single one of you that's listening is, and I am so excited to bring this next author to you. We have wanted to introduce this book to you for a really long time, and we're so glad that this best-selling author is now a bestseller, and we've got her here on the show today for you so that you can learn that even though things happen in life and for us, the challenge can seem so insurmountable. I mean, just like impossible, like a mountain that we can't climb or a valley that if we go down into, we'll never get back out of. And yet the truth is that often there is just on the other side of that obstacle, something that we may not even currently know how to be able to envision, and yet it's so great for our lives. And I am so tickled to be able to bring this book to you today. We've been waiting for months, literally, to be able to introduce this book to you. And Kathy and I know have both talked to a lot of people about this book. I'd like you to really welcome with me Habibo Haji. Hi, Habibo. How are you today?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Ever since the very first moment I heard your story, I talk about your story all the time. It depends on the situation, what I'm using it as a reference for, but I'm constantly talking about your story for people. So I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you for having me, Steve. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to be here.
Yeah. So people are going to have to read the book in order to hear your whole backstory, but just kind of give them a little bit of the highlights of where you've come from and where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. So most people, you know, we take life for granted when small or sometimes big obstacles arise in front of us. And my story is that of a, you know, survival and using obstacles to turn into prosperity. And with that, I mean, I was trained to be a shepherd girl at the age of 3 by my grandmother in the grassland of Somalia. And at the age of 4, I was on my own taking care of 150 goats and sheep from sunrise to way past sundown with only my jug of water and the stick that I have to protect them from the hyenas, jackals, and many other preys that would eat the little ones. Now, if you can imagine, you have kids that are grown now, and our listeners can imagine your four-year-old, you send them out into the woods, and you say, here's 150 goats and sheep, you take care of them, make sure you're bringing them home all in one piece. So my life started being vigilant and being protective of my animals at that particular time. And as I have done it many, many, many times up until I was seven, then I graduated to being a nomad. And most Americans don't know what nomad is. They're like, what? What is that? Well, I can tell you what that is. As a seven-year-old, I was responsible for taking the animals out months at a time from our village to a different side of Somalia where I would not see my family. I did not have a home. I slept outside on the dirt floor. I had no food. You know, the only food I would have would be what I find, fruits and stuff I find out, you know, out while I'm out with the cows or goats, and milk consistently for over 6 months. There, I started to pray to God and say, you know, I would ask, like, because, you know, I'm a preteen or school age, and I don't have the support. I never went to school because there was no school available for us. And I felt odd. I felt out of place. I felt just lonely and broken and sad and having to do this work over and over and over again. I would pray to God and I would ask, is this it for me? You know, what, you know, is this all my life is compiled to? Why isn't one here protecting me from the rapists and the animals and the weather and hunger and malaria? So my prayers got answered in a way that was different, that the civil war in Somalia broke. And now I found myself being in the largest refugee camp in Kenya, Dadaab. There's about over half a million individuals residing there currently. And, you know, to live through seeing children dying of hunger and malaria and cholera and just listless things that can be prevented has shifted my view of what it is now and what I see the world that, you know, around me. And I don't want to get into the long story of how I ended up here, but imagine at the age of 16, having never been to school, have no social skills, I don't speak the language, I landed in Arizona, of all places, you know, at 16. I had no clue at all what I was getting myself into. And after a month of being lonely and sad and depressed, I found a phone card and made a call to my grandmother, to my mother. Couldn't call my grandmother because there's no phones there. But my mom, living in the camp, there was telegrams. I called and I said, you know, have my mom here tomorrow this time. I will call her. I did call. And the first thing I heard my mom's voice, I broke down completely. And I said, I want to come back. I cannot stay in America. It's too scary. It's too lonely. I don't know nothing. I don't even know how to find grocery stores. I want to come back. And my mom said, honey, I wish I could help you. I wish I had the money to send you a ticket. Now, my mom, living in the refugee camp, raising five children, all at the age of eight at that point, before I left, we had nothing. we would run out of the food that was handed out to us. And before I left, my brother was sick, and we did not need 30 Kenyan shillings to buy a carton of milk. That would be 2 cents American money. So here I am, sitting in the land of opportunity in America, asking my mom, I want to go back. Well, that was impossible because she didn't have the money. If she probably had the money, she'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll send you the tickets, come back. There was no other option. And at that point, I realized, as Lisa Nichols says, you have to wipe every other option off the table. Well, I didn't have any other option aside from turning into drugs and getting into guns, you know? So I made a decision that I was going to change my life. I was going to go to school, although I have never been to school. I didn't know how to read or write. I was going to change my life and that of my family. And none of my siblings and my mother would ever go hungry again.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and so tell people, we're not going to tell them the whole story, but tell people what you do now for a living.
I am so privileged to be working at the number one medical facility in the world, that is Mayo Clinic. I work as a registered nurse. I'm currently studying for my PhD in nursing education. And I could not have had a better life. And I live the American dream. And I lived the American dream because I was hungry enough. Les Brown says, you got to be hungry. I was hungry. And I had to make it happen. So although I am published author, I am a nurse making, you know, almost six figure income. You know, I had to fight. I had to fight. I had to fight. I consistently had to fight and wipe every other option off the table aside from what I wanted. And I wanted to be a nurse more than anything else.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And now you're a nurse at the Mayo Clinic. So, yeah. You know, of course, as I do every time you tell your story, you know, I'm crying again. But I love it. You know, the book is called Conquering the Odds, Turn Your Valley into a Mountaintop. And yeah. You're such a beacon to all of us, you know, of possibility. I mean, here was that little shepherd girl.
Mm-hmm.
And now she works at the Mayo Clinic.
Yes. From a nomad to a nurse. To a published author. That's something, ain't it?
That's awesome stuff.
Yes.
So there is so much in this book. And unless you're a stone, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I mean, it's just so filled with stuff. But let's just give people one thing. One thing that they could take action on today, just having heard your encouraging story of where you've come from and what you've been able to accomplish.
Absolutely, Steve. See, a lot of times we carry our past failures. When we're growing up, our mind is filled with do's and don'ts and don'ts and don'ts, and you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not something. And we carry that into adult life, and we blame it our parents and grandparents and society and lack of resources and all these different things. But there's one thing that changed my life. I was listening to Tony Robbins once, and he said, people sit around and say, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. It is not that they lack resources, but it's their lack of resourcefulness. I didn't understand what that meant until I really, really looked myself in the mirror. I'm like, what is it that I want to do? What legacy do I want to live? And who's responsible for that? And that was me. So a lot of times we're looking for external things to make us successful, to make us more happy, to make us do this or that, to attract the right partner. But it's not external. Everything else, everything we ever desire is within us. So what I would like to tell people that are listening is that if you have a vision and you want to get somewhere or you want to do something, don't think about how you're going to get there. Decide and go for it. Because once you're in the midst of it, it would be scary, it would be exciting, and sometimes you would want to pull back because it's a little bit uncomfortable. That is when you grow and you fulfill your dreams. And use your past to create your future. What I mean by that is, yes, I've had, you know, to deal with things in my past that prevented me from being my greatness. But I had to let that go. It is not my parents' fault that I never went to school growing up. I had to let that go. Imagine if I said, you know, I never went to school because blah, 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 my parents or my grandparents or my society or whatever. And if I said, you know, I'm just not going to go to school because I didn't have that chance. It'd be too hard to learn how to read and write in my 20s, Steve. It would have, how many people would I have been depriving of what I do now? I work in psychiatry and I touch people's life every single day. If I did not make that decision, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do to set my foot in class and learn how to read or write when I'm an adult and people will make fun of you. It is hard to do something that is out of the ordinary. But whatever it is that you desire, whoever's listening, whatever's stopping you, you have to let that go. It is not going to be easy, but you just got to make that decision and take that leap of faith and say, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I don't care how many times I fall. I'm going to keep getting up and doing it again and again until I accomplish what it is that I want to accomplish.
Hmm. The book is called Conquering the Odds, Turn Your Valley into a Mountaintop by Habibo Haji. It is a bestseller. It's an amazing book. It's a book you have to read. It'll challenge you. I guarantee you. But if you will embrace it, there is a mountaintop that you can achieve too, just by taking the things that are and turning them into what can be. Habibo, thank you so much for your story and for sharing it with us and all that you do in the world.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Have a blessed day.
Got to reiterate that one more time. I need to make sure that you caught that. So Habibo was a shepherd girl by herself, 4 years old, watching 150 sheep and goats on the grasslands, and by seven was nomading through the entirety of the country of Somalia. And now she's a registered nurse at the Mayo Clinic. There is so much in life that is possible when you try and when you learn that you can be an overcomer. I hope you're as inspired by Habibo's story as what we all are here at Kid Marketing. And I really do hope that you will take that to heart and think about the things that you now can overcome in your life. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Wow, did we reach the final segment of the show again already? It always seems like, feels like it just goes by so quick. And I appreciate you guys being here with me. I love sharing these amazing best-selling authors with you. Weren't both of those ladies' stories just amazing today? I mean, even though I already knew before I did the interview with them how great their stories was, listening to them again, it just blows me away. The things that they've come through and how wonderfully, amazingly they have impacted and continue to impact the world. And I feel so humbled, so blessed that Kathy and I get a chance to be a small part of sharing their incredible stories with the world. And here's the thing. Don't compare yourself to what they've been through. Just know that your story is just as freaking amazing. There is just as much need in the world for you to share your unique brilliance, your story, the things that you do that do impact the world, that you are created to impact the world with the world. Oh, please, please don't let another day go by without singing your song. There's a lot of great music out there, but your song is the one that the world needs to hear as well. We want to help you be the authority that you already are. We want the world to know that you're an authority in your industry. We want to help you be that best-selling author. And the first step is simple. All you got to do is go to bestsellersguild.com. Join our free Facebook group. We're not going to charge you anything from there. You can be a member of the group forever and never pay anything. That's absolutely cool. We have a lot of fun stuff we do. And I promise you, it's a family that you will be so glad that you're part of. I love it when the people get together and they talk, you know, whether that be online or in person. It's really cool to watch that family bond that's already been created from the Facebook group. And we want you as part of our family, as part of our community as well. You just got to go to bestsellersguild.com and ask to be a member. And then we'll invite, you know, we'll accept your request. We always do. And then you're a member. And then we can start sharing with you different ways that you can become a best-selling author. Ways that you should, ways that you need to be able to share your story with the world. I mean, I think it was like 2 days ago now. Forgive me, whichever one of you it was, but one of our members posted that they just made their second book a bestseller. And that's always so exciting for us to watch each person. There's that day before you become a bestseller and you're like, yeah, but what if my book's the one that doesn't do it? And I've had so many wonderful talks with some of our great authors and it's like, it's okay. I understand that fear of being judged, of what if it's not good enough. But here's what I know, and what it is is that I know that somebody right now is on Google, they're on Amazon, there are different places that are search engines, because ultimately Amazon is a search engine for people looking to buy stuff. You know, Google is people who want information on something, and Amazon's a search engine for people who want to buy things. And so they're on a search engine, and they're looking for the answer to a question. They're like, if I could only buy this product that would help me with it, I would totally pay for it. They're on Google desperate saying, oh man, I have this problem and I need the solution for it. And you have the ability to share the answer because there are things that you do in your day-to-day life. You do them with grace and ease. And just like the people at the center, you know, in some respects, will probably never know how much they impacted Annette's life. They just were being themselves. And some of them were cafeteria ladies making snacks and food for the kids. Some of them, you know, were people who just, you know, maybe played a game of basketball with some of the guys. Different things like that can have such a huge impact in a child's life. Habiba told me a story that, you know, we didn't talk about today, but she talked about the person who, when she got her first job here in America, loaned her a pair of shoes because she didn't have the shoes that she needed to work to wear for her first job. And you can make a life impact on somebody by just simply doing the little thing that you can do. You know, that thing that you do so well that you've forgotten to give yourself credit for how amazing you are. And you are. You're amazing. You're an overcomer. You are a light to the world. You are a world changer. The world is so desperate, looking, wanting, longing, waiting. Can I use any more verbs to help you understand that they need you? We love, 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 help sharing dynamic, impactful people like you with the world. And I look forward to your story. Your story's not over. There may be another book in your future after you do the first one, because your life's going to keep going on and you're going to keep overcoming and more amazing things. Sometimes I look back at just this last year that Kathy and I have been through and all the amazing things that have happened in our life. And what I know is that's not the end of the story. We don't just get to sit back and be like, ooh, wow, that was an amazing life. It's just a year in our life of things moving from greatness to greatness. And no matter how you may feel today, that's what you're doing. You're moving from one greatness to your next greatness because you're an overcomer. You're amazing. You are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. There's no greater delight in Kathy and I's life than our ability, our opportunity to be able to share our best-selling authors with the world. And we want you to be our next best-selling author. The world needs you. They need your story. They need your message. So come join us, bestsellersguild.com. Let us help you share your light with the world to change the corner of the world that you were meant to change so that you can live as an overcomer. And more than anything else, you can live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have an amazing week. Be an overcomer. And until next time, remember to thrive in all you do.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.